This is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is a remarkable woman, although I must say every guest is remarkable. I must sound so boring at this point, but yes, another remarkable guest. We have Anne Albagli, who is an artist and the co-founder, of, you say the title of it.
This is my love letter to you, Washington, D.C.
Okay, this is my love letter to you, Washington, D.C. She co-founded this with her sweetheart, Vadim Ogievetsky, and he did the programming and you did the design, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up mostly in New Jersey and spent a little bit of time in Maryland growing up.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not from Washington, D.C.?
No, but I've lived there enough that now I think of it as home.
Okay, that's interesting to know. And you showed an early aptitude for art? I mean, how did your life go in this direction?
So I grew up going to art classes in the back of a gallery in a small town in Highland Park, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom was pregnant with me, she saw this artist painting and she's like, I want my daughter to take art lessons with her.
So
I don't know if she had this vision.
Is your mother also an artist?
No, she's a psychologist.
And your dad, I mean, did she have some genetic reason to believe that you would want to do this?
I don't think so. I think she just saw like the expressive quality of this woman, mm-hmm. and she thought that she wanted her daughter to feel
empowered.
So
how lucky she is that her daughter, in fact, had this talent.
Right.
And could satisfy everybody's dreams.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can be pregnant and wish for, take yourself and your belly to the opera.
Right.
That doesn't mean that child's going to be able to sing.
Right. No, of course not. I think it wasn't so much as, like, I want my daughter to be an artist as I want my daughter to feel empowered to make these
large works
of art and feel that she can express herself.
Okay. So double luck that you got that
right.
And that you're so talented.
Right.
Wonderful. Do you have a website that you'd like to let people know about?
Yeah, my website is Annie, A-N-N-I-E, Albagli, A-L-B-A-G-L-I, .com.
Okay, A-N-N-I-E, A-L-B-A-G-L-I, .com. Very worth going to see. Tell me about your love letters to Washington, D.C. I love letters to anything in any place, but love letters to places have a real historical significance
mm-hmm.
that's different from love letters to people. And we've had people here talk about places.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about this and how you came to it and why you want to do it and what it means.
So I guess there's a lot in part of this project.
Start wherever you want.
So this project was actually initially conceived for a very large public art project.
Mm-hmm.
And when coming up with it, I had initially wanted to actually build an entire wall of drawers so that people could contribute love letters.
A wall of drawers.
Oh, yeah, like an enormous card catalog.
In Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C.
Oh, like a library card catalog?
Exactly like that.
How nifty.
And I was thinking, like, and there was something that I found to be so special about D.C.'s art community, and that is, for me, what prompted this, like, enormous outpouring of, like, wanting to memorialize that
mm-hmm.
place. Because I had been living in Dallas, I'd been living in Jerusalem, and even Boston, and
mm-hmm.
it felt so much harder to kind of fight and find your artistic community to help support you and build you up.
In the non-Washington, D.C. places.
Yeah. And I have these memories of growing up partially in D.C. and going home on the metro, like, covered in plaster and mud and all kinds of things and surrounded by suits. And so when I thought about going back to D.C. to be an artist, I was like, that's no place for an artist. Like, that's where suits go, not artists. And after spending a little bit of time there, I just realized that there is this incredible and very intelligent community of artists,
mm-hmm.
and I just felt so grateful to be a part of it. So that
is that kind of a lesson to you that you can't tell what's under the suit?
Oh, of course not.
Okay.
No, definitely not. No, but as a young person growing up, like I didn't think that it had much to offer in that respect. They have beautiful museums, but what was the artist community like?
You say that's what prompted you. When did you first get that little aha that this is what I'm going to do? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, so this curator came to me and asked me to propose this huge public art project, and I was like,
because she knew you as an artist already.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And my artwork kind of bridges both working as like a print-based artist doing prints and installations, and then there's another facet to the work that really just encompasses art for social change and all and this kind of stuff. and
that,
direction.
That would fit into what you're doing, art for self.
Exactly.
You know, when I first heard about Love Letters to Washington, D.C., I assumed it was to politicians.
Oh.
Until we talked the first time. I just assumed that, you know, and I should know the lesson that we all learn again and again is assume nothing. And I suppose that could be in there.
Yeah.
But what made you choose a card? Are there card catalogs anymore? I haven't seen one in ages. You go to a library and you key in what you want.
Yeah. I guess I wanted this feeling of tangibility and to be able to hold on to something. And also for people when they read the letters initially to see, I mean, this isn't exactly how the project was manifested ultimately, but I wanted the feeling of being able to hold people's letters in your hand and read them. And there's so much in handwriting that's so significant.
Let's talk about that.
And special.
It's one of my favorite subjects. And because you're an artist and because you use your hands and pen, pencil, paint, you use a material to put something tangible on paper.
Yeah.
When you said you hold that letter in your hand,
mm-hmm.
whatever you write and you have touched the paper, and if it's a love letter, you might have pressed it to your heart or to your lips or to your cheek.
Right.
It has you
right.
all over it.
Exactly.
And so whoever else is touching it is in contact with you in some real DNA dribble way.
Yeah, right. It's like it's very much like a product of yourself, and somebody else is then connecting back to it in a way.
So when you say there's so much in handwriting, what do you mean and what do you see?
I don't know. I think there's so much beauty in personality.
Yes.
You know, and and it's like something that comes through more than just the words,
right.
you know, that are written there. So, and also, you know, little kids and, you know, my grandmother, she writes so beautifully. I mean, her handwriting is elegant, you know, and I don't have the patience for that kind of elegance in my writing, you know.
Well, I'm wondering if you were trained the same also. Do you remember your handwriting lessons?
Yeah, no, I do. And I remember the point where I started to kind of transition out of it, of like to stop spending, you know, this like, you know, meticulous amount of time writing. But
I've got you on too many different roads, I realize, but that I love the idea of a card catalog because it is something that holds the goods.
Right.
You can't do that on a computer. You can't do it in the same way. And the other thing is, technology changes every time you blink.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have stored on a computer today, you've got to really be on top of it to translate it into the next technical container so that you can keep it. Once it's in a card catalog, obviously we have paintings and letters from hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. That are stored. And, well, it was like this idea. I mean, also it related back to postcards, like all of, I mean, the boxes that we ended up creating. You know, we're talking so much about handwriting, but ultimately this was a digital piece to be able to open it up to having anybody and everybody contribute.
Oh, okay. So I'm getting so excited about one aspect.
Right.
Okay. So in the end, it is a digital piece.
It is. Because
so it's a digital card catalog.
Yeah, it's divided up as like an enormous wall of drawers.
When you said wall of drawers, again, I keep assuming, I thought there was a physical location of a huge...
Well, and so initially when you asked about the aha moment, that's the way it was conceived.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I just need to write this huge love letter, but what's the best way to write a love letter is to have many people... Well, for me, it was to have everybody be able to contribute their, you know... moment of, you know, of connection and love.
With this city.
Yeah, with the city. And it can be politicians. It could be, you know,
how long has this been going on?
It's been going on since October.
Oh, so it's relatively new.
Yeah.
Okay, people, so you can get in on it.
Yeah.
And write letters through that website?
Yeah. it's called My Love Letter to D, myloveletter.to/DC/write.
Okay, let's spell all that out
really
slowly, if you would. Go ahead.
So it's myloveletter.to/DC/write.
Okay.
WRITE.
Yes. Okay. So if you'd like to contribute to this, do you have a majority of kind of letters?
You know, I think, well, so it's been like a really special.
Can you tell us a few of them?
Or? Yeah, it's been really special to read these letters because there are a lot. Well, so the Love Letters piece is hosted at the Art Museum of the Americas, and So there are a lot of people that go in and write about how they love the museums in Washington, D.C., which makes sense because of the context. But there are a lot of people who will really, you know, there's a little plaque that asks you to sit down and just reflect back on a moment or an experience or some connection that you have to the city. And a lot of people really sit down for a minute and think about, you know, a moment in their childhood when they were, you know, at the foot of like the Lincoln Memorial. And they really paint a beautiful picture and something that is very special to read because you're getting this little snippet into, you know, their a moment that connects them to the city.
That's very nice that you asked them to take a moment and think about. Yeah. Because, I mean, I do, that's a big part of my Love Letters workshop, is taking a moment and thinking about a good letter. Most of the time comes from that combination of planning and passion.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so good that you do that. Okay.
And also, if you were to just access it on your home computer, you also have like a plaque that kind of comes up and mm-hmm. says it's very much the same thing. It gives you a little introduction to the love letters, but it also tells you to just sit for a second before you start writing. So those love letters that talk about moments in people's childhoods or how people have learned to love the city over being there a number of years or a special like place that, you know, like some great food that they've had or some crazy night that they had in DC, you know, meeting unexpected people. And all of those things have been really special and really diverse in a way that I couldn't have anticipated when I first made it.
How does Washington, DC differ? I mean, it's got to be different just from the energy of being the political center of our country. How do you see that? As being different from other cities, or is it not?
Well, so it's funny because, I mean, I understand D.C. in a lot of different contexts. Like, my sister worked on the Hill over the summer, and it was really incredible to like, go visit her and see that kind of energy of everyone that's, you know, around the Hill. But then I think also there are so many artists also engaging political ideas in their work, or the other issue with D.C. I see is a lot of segregation in terms of where political offices are and then where people actually live.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't pervade every single aspect.
No.
It's one aspect of life there. Yes.
It's a very multifaceted city. And I think what's incredible about it is being able to go out, you know, at your front door and go see things that are so famous and
sure.
Very special.
So where do you see going with this? And are you just going to, as far as you can sit from right now, just continue it forever? The obvious question is it will make a wonderful book.
Right, yeah.
Because it's, you know, the capital.
Right.
Well,
I guess I want it to keep going. I want to see more letters come into the district. And it was actually very aptly timed during the election because it was very purposefully timed because the kind of like nail biting and the horrible comments that are thrown to both sides just also is a bigger idea of DC, right? Like, you know,
when you say the horrible comments to both sides, you mean the top fight that is our election process.
Right. So I wanted people to kind of like take a moment and step away from that and realize that that's not all that DC has to offer in a bigger way. So I think also now that that's over, I don't know. I think it'll be nice to have people keep contributing letters and Vadim and I were talking about printing out all the love letters and seeing maybe we'll display them and how we would display them and things like that. But by having it as an online application, everything was projected in real time in the gallery so that if you were writing a love letter from here, it would be shown in the gallery as somebody writing a love letter.
On a computer screen there.
On the huge projection.
Yes, yes.
So
people can also go into the gallery and sit down and write the letter.
Yeah. Or they cut the show. The show actually just closed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So now it's just on the computer.
Is there any kind of letter that you like to see best? I mean, you could encourage.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to be the love letter police, and I don't like to do that either. But there are certain areas. For example, historically, I mean, what about love letters of hope to Washington, D.C. as the model of democratic government at its best?
Yeah.
Not when they're misbehaving. Right.
No, I think that that's a beautiful thing. I think thinking about the future also, I mean, like, as you're saying, it's really beautiful. I think, you know, saying, like, the museums are free is nice, but it's think harder. That's what I want.
Oh, yes.
You know?
The museums are free is a nice love letter. Yes.
But think a little bit harder about, like, maybe you just had a great experience walking down the street. I don't know. Maybe there's something in the air. I don't know. You know, like, just take
look into yourself.
Yeah, a little bit more.
We had a guest once here, wonderful young woman, who wanted to write a love letter to the bus driver who smiled at her as she got on the bus on the worst day of her life. And she said that what that did to her, he could just see that she was a girl in trouble, mm-hmm. and he smiled at her, and it was so encouraging, and it made her, I mean, that kind of...
Yeah, that, like, atmosphere, yeah, and exchange, those mm-hmm. are very special moments, and I think people don't think about that enough.
Gosh, it would be nice to see, I think, I mean, just letting my mind run, it would be nice to see letters from young people who hope to make Washington, D.C. their life at some point so they can do something to improve the world in a political way.
I think that's interesting. I think a lot of it also depends on the context with which, like, the love letters are displayed, and that mm-hmm. very much influences what kinds of letters come in. And so to put it in, you know, a context where that would be more...
Do you think you'll ever have you could do it anytime you wanted to, but are you ever driven to have an address where people could write actually handwritten love letters and send them to you, and you could collect those also?
Yeah, that sounds very beautiful. And like we were talking about
before. Is that too cumbersome?
It's thinking about the big picture of where those will go and how to kind of use them. And so when Vad and I are talking about printing out all the love letters, it kind of feels like it takes away a little bit because I'd much rather see them handwritten, mm-hmm. you know, so that sounds much more interesting.
And you could do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, give people an opportunity. When you print them out, I have a question. Mm-hmm. What do you print them out on?
Right.
I'm going to get real busybody here.
Well, no, I mean, I can't think of... So when we designed the love letter cards that actually get displayed, mm-hmm. you know, on the screen, they're modeled after card count. Like, the color of them is like this off-white color. And all of the icons at the bottom are all handwritten and hand-designed. So there was like this like kind of flavor to it. And
card catalog.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about card catalogs for a minute, because I have a feeling some people listening under a certain age have never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
The same way they've never seen a rotary phone,
right.
or a telephone booth,
right.
or certain other things. I suppose there'll be the day that some of them will never see a pencil or pen again. That just
that kind
my
of
heart.
Scares me. I can't think without a pen and paper.
I know. So talk about what a card catalog is. Why don't you define it?
Well, okay, so
I'll help
from the from the best of my ability, I guess a card catalog is a series of small drawers that each
in a particular maple colored finished wood. It's like a wood cabinet.
Exactly.
That's right, with little drawers that are the size of 3x5 cards.
Yeah. That each have little call numbers on them that relate back, and with like the title, the author, and I think other
each card
pertinent information.
Refers to one book.
Right.
That's how you know what's in the library. There was no such thing as going and keying in what you wanted and having it show up on the screen. So I guess they don't have those anywhere anymore?
Well, so it's funny because I teach at SFAI at the San Francisco Art Institute, and mm-hmm. they have their old card catalog, like, cards mm-hmm. around for students to be able to write down information on, or if they're looking for a book that they've looked up on the computer card catalog to write down the information so that they can go find it. But it's really nice to see all that old type and the font that they used, which is also, I think, you know...
Oh, typewriter font.
Yeah.
That's, yes.
I mean, yeah.
Do you know what font that was offhand?
It's not Courier New, but it's something like that.
Something typewritey.
Yeah. But I think maybe that's what got me started, is holding those cards. And maybe it was just, like, not, like, totally present in my mind, but it was lodged back
there
from holding
to it. But you keep referring to something, and I wish this were a television moment, because if you could see Anne's hands, as she's talking about this, she's moving her hands. You're moving your hands in such a way that you're so tactile, and it's so important to you. And you're moving your hands in a way as if you're feeling a small card.
Right. Yeah.
So there is something lovely about that that we don't want to lose.
Right. Yeah.
So that's nice that you're using that. I like that. They were beautiful. Card catalogs held an entire world.
Yeah. In this one little mm-hmm. chest of drawers. I refurbished an old card catalog for my mom that we found. It belonged to the patent office or something in mm-hmm. D.C. But there's one other part of the Love Letters project that I think is also important, is that while this is a collaborative love letter, so as each person contributes a love letter to a specific drawer, once it's received at least one love letter, the front face of the drawer will turn around and form part of an image. Mm. And so together, like, an entire image is formed. And they're generally photo collages that bring together different parts of the city. So they're kind of like hard and soft elements. Like, I've paired, like, you know, just like the architecture of certain metro stations with the Great Falls that are close by. So there's a lot of different components to it. And hopefully you're rewarded a little bit for contributing.
Okay, so that being rewarded a little bit for contributing is kind of like getting a thank you or something back for your love letter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for so taking interesting the time. That you're, because, you know, I always say writing a love letter is a gift.
Yeah.
You don't do it to get something in return.
Yeah.
It's your custom designed gift for one person or place or something in this universe.
Yeah.
It will never be duplicated. And what do you have a right to expect in return? Nothing.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You probably will get something. I don't know of anybody who doesn't eventually.
Right.
But so you're incorporating that need for being acknowledged, right, in your project.
Well, yeah, I want them to feel like they're, I want the viewer to feel like by contributing, you're helping to build something.
Mm-hmm.
And so by kind of revealing a face of like a portion of an image, it's like you've started
so
that process. There's
a good question of something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
What is it you want revealed? In other words, wouldn't that be the same as what's the goal of this project, kind of?
I think to find more beauty in D.C. as a symbol and as, like, this specific place, mm-hmm. you know, that you can go in and explore the alleyways of and, like, nooks and crannies of.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, it comes back to beauty.
Sharing love and beauty.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if lots of cities did this? I mean, you're smiling.
Yeah.
Do you think about that?
Well, yeah.
Like having it be just this huge... Like each city, somebody in each city do a love letter to?
Yes.
Gets people thinking in terms of love instead of combativeness or
Their frustrations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the city. So actually, well, so I felt such a personal connection to Washington, D.C., and that's why at first I didn't want it to be just like, oh, any place. But actually when Vad and I conceived of the project, we made it like the domain myloveletter.com/ so that we could start to build it around other cities.
Or you could find other people in other cities to join you.
Yeah, in creating these
I mean, I have a real connection to Los Angeles and the Hollywood Hills of the 40s and the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say a date, really.
Okay.
Because a city's a city.
It's timeless, yeah.
But, yes, and cities do have a grip on you. Thomas Reynolds, somehow I'm going to get this connected with you, but Thomas Reynolds was twice a guest on Love Letters,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a love letter to the city in Florida in which he was raised. I think it had 200 people or something.
Oh.
And there was so much in his letter to that place.
Yeah.
It was astounding. And Iris Fuller, who was the developer and founder and mommy of Filamento, I don't know if you ever knew that story.
No.
It was before you were here. Another love letter to a place. It was her business, her store.
Right.
She said, that store was my best friend, and I miss her.
Wow.
And wrote a love letter that had me in tears.
Wow.
To a place.
Yeah.
And what it meant to her.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful.
Because we are shaped by places we have been physically.
Yeah. And... Yeah, and I mean, what it's given you and what you contribute to that one place, I mean, I think that those are really
And it's a very nice
things.
Way, actually, of, you know, as I'm thinking about it, which I love doing, it's a nice way of putting your footprint down and saying, I was here.
Right. Because you're really, I mean, by writing that, you're really memorializing
That's
that
right.
moment.
You and again, it shouldn't matter because it's, but it is Washington, D.C. that holds a special place
right.
in world history.
Yeah.
It's an important historical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, I mean, because what are the things that get spouted to you through media, right? Especially as they pertain to D.C. constantly.
It's like
constant.
What?
Well, I mean, during the debates and during, you know, I keep referencing that because
sure.
I just was glued to the TV and I never watched television.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the way people kind of rip each other apart and manipulate words and all of these things. I mean, it was like, for me, it was horrible.
And oh, is so that you don't want to see people walk away with that being their image right. in Washington, D.C.?
And you're saying, like, to memorialize a place. Well, what's been, like, kind of, what have I been kind of taking internally from the mm-hmm. exterior world? Like, all of that media, right? Mm-hmm. But here's a moment to, like, kind of separate yourself from
yes.
that. And
oh,
to
that's valuable other, in its own right, to right, be able to separate, right. you
know, to intake
separate yourself
else.
From the news. Yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's so I think that separation and being able to think about other things, you know, as they really
healthy.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, if now have you written love letters yourself?
To the district
to
or
anybody,
just to anyone?
Anything. Vadim, the district, your mother,
yourself. That's important. I guess I have, maybe I've written a few love letters to Vadim, because there was a long time when we lived very far away from each other, so mm-hmm. we'd write each other letters, like physical mm-hmm. letters.
Physical letter. You still have them? He still has
yeah,
them?
Yeah, we have little boxes.
Right. Nobody throws them away.
No, how could you? You're horrible.
You know, every once in a while, a box of letters will show up at a flea market.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the taram raised around that. Mm-hmm. It, you know, somebody snaps it up immediately, and everybody knows love letters belong somewhere safe
right,
and wonderful. And I think people who put them in a flea market mm-hmm. probably know that somebody will buy them as a whole in that box and treasure them.
Yeah, we hope. Yeah.
We hope. So if you were to write a love letter right now to Washington, D.C., have you yeah. done it?
I've written small letters to D.C. about moments.
Can you say what some of those moments are?
Well, I mean, so I guess I want to go back to what initially prompted me,
sure.
which was like the community of artists mm-hmm. that I was a part of. And this includes artists and I guess gallery directors. Like, for example, my friend Christina Bolonic, she mm-hmm. runs a small gallery called Pleasant Plains Workshop, and it's like this incredible hub for experimental pieces and for, I mean, so many people gather in this one space, and she can create such a dynamic space. It's a gallery. It's also a workshop. It's also a studio space mm-hmm. for different artists. And she's building like this incredible community in a place right near Howard University, which I think it's not like the art hub of mm-hmm. DC. And she's like building such a community all around her, which I think is so special. And for somebody to take that lead. And the other thing is for artists themselves to devote time to creating a space in a community like that, it takes away from your own studio time. And so mm-hmm. to be devoting yourself to creating this community is something really special.
And it's another piece of permanence that you get to have a chance at putting down.
Right.
So I have a question. The art teacher you went to as a child, is she still alive?
She is still alive. And she actually, so I'm a resident at the Kala Art Institute in Berkeley. And I recently met somebody who actually also took art lessons from her in Berkeley. It was so crazy to meet somebody.
But like, are you in touch with her still?
I am not.
Okay.
I've tried to get in touch with her, but I don't think that she still lives in Highland Park anymore.
Oh, but would you, I mean, I want to write a love letter to her.
Okay.
Just for what she's allowed in you and this other woman. If you could find her address.
Yeah.
Wouldn't she love to hear from you?
Yeah.
Just to have a love letter from you saying, you know, thank you for the start you gave me. And I love what you said, you know, it was not necessarily so I would be an artist, but so I would be able to express myself powerfully.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know what you've enabled me to do.
Yeah, to that kind of power that you gave each child.
I mean, what a thing for a teacher to receive many years later.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, honey, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me, Dad.
Yes,
it's so fun to talk to you.
It's fun to talk to you, too. And there's so much in this. And I've really learned something in as much as no, Washington, D.C. is not just Congress and the Oval Office. And I really don't see it as anything more than that. And I'm so happy that I now do.
No, I'm really excited
Thank you.
That you do. Thank
and
you.
Please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And if you have any gratitude or feelings of love for Washington, D.C., please join in. I'm going to do that. I'm going to write one.
Yeah,
and join in and let Anne's project know that you're thinking of Washington, D.C. in some fond and, if not fond, even maybe just compassionate way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye.